I'm going to refer to Scripture this morning, all the Scripture, though, that are in the brief message I have prepared, have already been read as we went through the Christmas story. This Christmas, we call it story, it's actually history of God taking upon Himself the body of flesh in order to die for man, that man might have eternal life. This historical account is so familiar. We were taught it by our parents. We have taught it to our children. And we expect that our children will then teach it to their children, a wonderful story of the love of God who sent His Son to die on Calvary for us. But as I consider this coming of Christ to the earth this morning, I'd like to just spend a few moments considering the wonder of Christmas, the wonder of Christmas. There were many unusual things that took place that first Christmas morning, and yet which one is prominent? I think I could go right to the end. You all know where this is going. But let's just go through a few of these very briefly. The first unusual event that really, especially in our day and age, does not seem so unusual is that of the taxing. The taxing we read of in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, when the Bible tells us that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And because of this tax, each individual was required to go back to the city of their ancestry. This was necessary, as we read out of Galatians chapter 4 earlier this morning, that in the fullness of time, Jesus was not born by happenstance or just because God felt like it was a good time. God had the entire world progressing toward that specific moment in history when His Son would enter the world as a baby. And part of that planning, part of that forward progress of mankind was this taxing that Caesar Augustus required of all man. Because that took Joseph and Mary, who was pregnant at the time with the baby Jesus, down from Nazareth to the city of Bethlehem, where the child was to be born. But taxing is nothing new. It also is nothing old. It's something that has been since man began, since the very history of human government. And so even though we might look at this and be awestruck, be held in wonder that this would happen at exactly the right moment, that would take then Mary being pregnant with Jesus down to Bethlehem, we might wonder at that. And it is a thing to wonder at. I don't believe, of course, it's the primary thing to wonder at. Following in Luke chapter 2, we read of these angels who appeared to these shepherds. Now the shepherds out watching the flock by night was nothing unusual. This was a nightly occurrence in that region. But not the appearance of the angels, as those shepherds were reclining, I believe, on the hillside that evening, talking. Perhaps some were slumbering while others kept watch. But they were there in the group with the flock below them. And in the sky appears this angel with this wonderful message of good news to all of mankind. That, in fact, was incredibly unusual. As we read through the Scripture, we read of many times when angels came and appeared to man with a message. But if we would take the occurrences and divide that into the number of years involved, we understand this was very, very rare. What a wonder it is that the angel would come. What a wonder it is that the message this angel then proclaimed. And what a wonder it was as that one angel then multiplied into the whole angelic host as they proclaimed the glory of God. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been a part of those shepherds that night, a part of that shepherd band? who then went into the city and found it exactly as the angels had proclaimed. There was the Son of God wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Certainly one of the great wonders of that first Christmas was this angelic host on the hillside. But again, I don't believe this was the greatest of the miracles or of the wonders. Over in Matthew chapter 2, we read of another great wonder. Now, this did not take place on the Christmas morning. This took place as many as 2 years after. But in Matthew chapter number 2, we read of the wise men. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And so here we have these wise men. We always picture them as three. As tradition tells us, there were three. We have absolutely no idea. We assume there was more than one. We come to the number three because of the three gifts that were then presented. But there could have been a great deal more than three, but the number is irrelevant. The fact is, they saw a star. These men came probably from the area of Babylon, probably influenced heavily by the prophet Daniel many centuries before, who was a very godly man. We read about him in the book of Daniel. Probably then left the prophecies, left the scriptures in Babylon, and this is probably a remnant of his following that then had expected the Son of God to come. And so as they saw the sign of the star, they knew what it meant, and so they packed their bags, mounted their camels, and headed west. Didn't have the garments back then, did they? But they headed west, came to Jerusalem where they expected that baby to be born, but they followed the star. What a wonder it is, this star. Man today has tried to rationalize that star away, the wonder of that star, the mystery of that star. They looked for times when there was eclipses or the planets lining up or some natural explanation for this star to be in the sky, of which these wise men had seen and then followed. But no one can explain what happened in this chapter. After Herod gathered the priests and the scribes and demanded of them where the baby should be born, and they said, "Oh, not here in Jerusalem, down in Bethlehem. That's what Micah says," they told the king. And so the king then reports back to the wise men. And it tells us in verse number 10 of Matthew chapter 2, and here's the inexplainable part, that when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, look at what it says. I should have gone up to verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed and lo, the star, which they saw in the east. Notice what it did. It went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. You can't explain that with any natural explanation, because it takes a great deal of time to travel from the east to Jerusalem. If this is just an eclipse, they last maybe a matter of a few hours. If it was the planets in alignment, that might last a couple of days. But they traveled all the way from the east and got to Jerusalem. And as they left Jerusalem and headed for Bethlehem, here's the star again leading them, going before them, resting over the very house where Jesus could be found. What a great wonder. What a great mystery is this star, defying any natural explanation. But again, that's not the greatest wonder. The greatest wonder is back in the Old Testament, at least as far as the scriptures we read, was foretold 700 years before the event. But in Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6, this very familiar verse, tells us, "For unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The fact that the child was born and the son was given, I believe, is the greatest wonder of Christmas. The twofold statement is not redundant. Each of those statements tells us something different about this baby Jesus. When it tells us that a son was born, God is telling us that a natural birth would take place, at least as natural as from the outward appearance could be seen. Because we also had read for us this morning, earlier in Isaiah, that it would be born of a virgin. That the Holy Ghost then would rest upon her, and that Holy Child would be conceived within the womb of Mary apart from a man. Mary was confused, did not understand it. Today the scientists and the Bible students scratch their head and say, how could that be? What a great wonder, what a great miracle it was. But it was a man. Let there be no mistake. He was not a ghost, he was not a phantom. He was not like Superman. He was a man, flesh and blood, capable of being weary, capable of being hungry, capable of being thirsty, capable of being sick. There was nothing significantly special about this body that Jesus took upon himself, a body of a man. A child is born, but we also have the Son is given. In order to give, it must already be there. If I tell you I'm going to give you $10, that presupposes that I have $10 in my pocket or in my wallet to give. The Son was given. He was already there. And so when that Holy Child was conceived and the womb of Mary, then born that first Christmas morning, he didn't begin on that day. Even though the child, the man part did, the son did not. The fact that a child is born speaks of his humanity. The fact that a son is given speaks of his deity. The fact that God left heaven and took upon himself that body, that human body, and came as that little baby that the shepherds found wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. That, I believe, is the wonder of the Christmas story, that God, the creator of all, would leave heaven and the throne and the sovereignty and authority involved in that and come as a baby in a manger. God in the flesh. Let us never miss that sight this Christmas season. As we have our manger scenes in our yards and in our homes, as we see the Christmas story portrayed in different places, let us remember the greatest wonder is that God took upon himself the body of a man in order that he might die for sinful man, that sinful man might have everlasting life. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son so many years ago, and as we celebrate it once again this year, Father, may we recognize who this child is, and Father, may we never grow callous to the miracle that God took upon himself flesh and came and died in our place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.